Tonight is Monday night, February 12th. This is the Gemara Shir Moed Katan Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. And we are up to four lines before the lines get wide. As you remember, the Gemara is comparing the laws of Avelut to a Menuda, somebody who was put into Cherim, as well as someone who is a Mitzora, a leper. So the Gemara says, the last thing that we learned was that an Avel is not permitted to wear tefillin. So now the Gemara asks, Menuda mahu betfillin? Is somebody put into Nidui, into Shamta, into Cherem, is that person permitted to wear tefillin? Answers the Gemara, Teku. Okay, we don't know the answer. It happens to be a very unusual type of situation where the Gemara doesn't give us a clue as to what the two sides of the question are. Yes, I can figure out one side of the question, namely, in many halachot, a menuda is compared to an avel. In other halachot, he's not compared to an avel. So the Gemara asks the question, what about tefillin? But again, it offers no insight as to what might be the reason to say that he is excluded from tefillin, nor does it give us any explanation why he should put on tefillin. And there is not a bloody word in any Rishon about this. Not a word in any of the Rishonim on Maidkat, not the Ritva, not the Rush, the Ran, nobody says a word about what might be the issue of the debate. I can understand the Gemara doesn't resolve it. That happens hundreds of times. But at least we have an inkling as to what the issues are. Here we are somehow in the dark. So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, in source number one, the Mechaber Paskins in Hilchos Tefillin, and the last Sif, in the Sif Yud Gimel, Menuda u'mitzora asurim l'haniach tefillin. A Menuda, somebody put into Cherem, and a leper are not permitted to put on tefillin. Does this shock you or not shock you? Simply based on information that you are aware of as to how elements of doubt are resolved. Why?
Because
of
the Raisa.
What?
It should be the Raisa.
Good. It should be, one thing is that the mitzvah of tefillin is wearing a Doraisa. Wearing tefillin is a Doraisa. The fact that an Ovel doesn't wear tefillin, even an Ovel who doesn't wear tefillin, that's not a Doraisa. That was told, that's called Divrei Kabbalah, where something is passed on to us in Nevi'im. But it's somewhere above and beyond a din de rabbanan, but not quite a din de oraisa. But a menuda, there is no source in Tanakh that would tell us that a menuda doesn't wear tefillin. So what? If you're comparing where the expressions of a nidui, somebody in cherem, versus a mitzvah saseh of putting on tefillin, and you're not 100% sure what to do, I would say that the din de oraisa overrides the din de rabbanan about trying to create parity between menuda and avelus. That's one way of resolving it in favor of wearing tefillin. What other rule would you say? What other rule would you say that you know of as to why you would rule against the Shulchan Aruch? What other rule that you know of? So the Gemara, when it doesn't answer the question, so the answer is, it's a suffix. I'm not sure what a menuda should do. So how do we resolve elements of Safek when you're dealing with the Din Derabbanan. You go Lekula, Lahakel. Lahakel means that he should put on tefillin. That's the way, not to prohibit it, but to allow it. So again, and here, if it's just a little difficult to understand why the Mechaber took the hardline track in this regard. And indeed, the Shach, if you look at for a second on page number 2, before you get to 1A, the Shach disagrees with the Mechaber. The Shach in Yoredeya. So the Siman in Shulchan Aruch is talking about the halachos of an Ovel, the Asa B'Tichboset. Ovel Ein Tzorach Kriya Aval, excuse me, Aval, this is talking about somebody who's put into Nidui in Cheirem. So put into Cheirem, he is not permitted to wash his clothing. The Gemara established that on the top of the page. Aval ain't sorach kriya, he doesn't have to rip his garment. V'atifa sarosh, he doesn't have to cover his head. Ukfiya samita, he doesn't have to turn over his bed. Ke'avel umutab chitza v'sicha v'tashma shamita u'betfilin u'she'ela shalom Cain Haskamas Roiv Hapoiskin. So the Shach was a big boy and he didn't mind arguing with the Mechaber. And although Rabbi Yosef Karo prohibits the Nidui, the person put into Nidui, to wearing tefillin, the Shach overrides. And our general rule of Pinky is that whenever the Shach chooses to disagree with the Mechaber, we generally follow the Shach. Against everybody else in Shulchan Aruch. Typically we do. So here, we can understand why he disagreed, based on the two explanations which we just offered. Yes. There are some Achrayinim who say, well, since it's a Machloikis, and the Shach says yes, the Mechaber says no, so put him on, just don't make a bracha. And the Gaon was aware of those who said don't make a bracha. I should have photostated the Gaon. But the Gaon says you make a bracha. Because, you make a bracha here. Now, there is, yeah?
Is there an aspect by tefillin?
Yes.
Correct. There's a Doraisa aspect to have to guard the tefillin. So I don't know why.
Why wouldn't
there would be a lack of shimur, but if he's living alone, he's not part of the community.
Okay. If somebody would have said it, I would say, okay. That's interesting.
Also, I say Safek Derabbanan Mahakel.
Yes.
I mean, that's usually in terms of if something is usur or mutter.
Right. So here the question would be is...
It's a little bit different.
Oh, no. But we pointed out last week that once the Ovel is not obligated to wear tefillin, what Lashon did the Gemara use about the Ovel and tefillin? Asur lo to wear tefillin. And we pointed out, why is it asur? Because if you're not allowed to wear it, part of the mitzvah of shimur is don't just fool them around, don't put them around, don't play around with them.
The nidui is different. The nidui, avel is an avel, he's an avel, you can't do anything about it. The nidui could change at 9 o'clock in the morning, the guy's a nidui, at 10 o'clock in the morning, he might not be a nidui.
Right, if he would it's listen to Bezdin.
Right.
So, is that a reason to put on tefillin or not to put on tefillin?
I mean, I guess you could argue either way. I mean, he might have a din of tefillin any part of that day that he needs to put on.
Okay. There is a way for him to what? To make sure he's chayif in tefillin. Just listen to whatever Bezdin told him to do. Could be. However, there is, on page 1A, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to indicate that somebody who is in Nidui does wear tefillin. There is such a Gemara. As you well know, and if you don't know, I'll tell you, Rabbi Eliezer was put into Cheirem because he disagreed with the majority psak of some kind of an oven in Maseches Bava Metzia at the Tanur Shel Achnoi, whether it's Mekabel Tuma, not Mekabel Tuma, fine. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, Kishechola Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnesu Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov levakro. Rabbi Akiva and his friends, his colleagues, went in to visit Rabbi Eliezer. Hu yoshev bekinuf shelo. Rabbi Eliezer was sitting on his canopy bed. He had a bed with a canopy. Vehein yoshvin bitraklin shelo. They sat in the hallway, not in the bedroom. Now there is a debate as to why they did not sit in the same room. Some say they did not sit in the same room because they were observing the laws of Nidui. And Menuda, you're not supposed to engage him in conversation. So the way to make sure you don't engage him in conversation was, don't sit right next to him. That was one interpretation. There was a second interpretation, they were afraid that he already had lost his marbles. He was mituraf. He was apparently so affected by this cherem that eventually he was becoming mentally disabled. And Rabbi Akiva did not want that everybody should see Rabbi Eliezer in such a state. So Rabbi Akiva had them sit inside and he was going to pepper Rabbi Eliezer with some questions and then see whether or not he was in control of his faculty. And then, after that, he was going to let the student, the other chaverim, come in. So what happened was, Ve'oso hayom erev Shabbos haya. That day happened to have been Friday. And apparently it was late Friday afternoon. Ve'nichnas hurkenos beno. Hurkenos, the son of Rabbi Eliezer, came in to visit his pop. For what purpose? Lachalotz tfilav, to take off his tefillin. Goarbo, so Rabbi Eliezer started screaming at him, v'yotza b'nezifa, and Hyrcanus the son left the chamber of Rabbi Eliezer all ashamed and felt totally abused by his father. Amar lahen lechaverav, so Hyrcanus said to the rest of the gang, kimeduma ani, it appears to me, shedaato shel abba nitrifa, that he's already lost it, you know, because there was no reason for me to what? There's no reason for my father to get angry at me. So Rashi there explains that Rabbi Eliezer happened to be of the opinion that Shabbos is lav zman tefillin, and if a person, but here is where he had a disagreement with the Chachamim were of the opinion that if you hold tefillin are not applicable on Shabbos, what happens if you wear tefillin from a Rishus HaYachid into a Rishus HaRabbin? Is it considered carrying or not? Is it considered carrying? So the Chachamim were of the opinion that it depends. If Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, so then of course you're not Chai of anything. Why? Because you're being Mekayim a Mitzvah, so it is undoubtedly a Malbush for you, and it cannot violate the Issur of carrying. But if Shabbos loves Zman Tefillin, then going out into Rosh HaRabim would violate an Issur. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion himself was, no, even if Shabbos loves Zman Tefillin, by virtue of the fact that this item is worn 6 out of 7 days a week, it's called a Malbush. It's not just carrying something. It's like you have a weekday hat and a Shabbos hat. So if you decided to put on your weekday hat on Shabbos, that may not be the nicest thing in the world, but no one would ever accuse you of carrying because you don't wear this on Shabbos. So too, said Rabbi Eliezer, the fact that it is worn 6 days a week, by definition, makes it a malbush. And as a result, he couldn't... That's why he was screaming at his son Hyrcanus, because Hyrcanus generated the impression that by insisting that my father take off his garment, his tefillin, he was afraid that he would walk outside and be Mechal Shabbos. That's not my opinion. So he let him have it for good reason. That's apparently. But in any event, we know that Rabbi Eliezer was put into Cheirim, and yet he was wearing tefillin. So this Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to support the notion that somebody in Cheirim is permitted to wear tefillin, and that's why the Shach disagreed with Karo. Yeah.
So I think it's the Pnei Yehoshua.
Yeah.
He says that because they didn't use this as a proof, and they said take, he reinterpreted it and said
it was his own tefillin. Correct. Yes.
That's why he went.
That is correct.
And why he had to go into the room to do that.
And why did he have to take off his tefillin if he was just going to visit his father? But yes, I didn't know that the Pnei Yeshua, but I saw other later Achroinim suggest that the lachlotz lo tefillah means he took off his own tefillin. Why couldn't he go visit his father with wearing tefillin? Nice. But it doesn't seem to read that way in the Gemara. It seems that he went in to take off his tefillin, you know, v'nichnas hurkenis b'no lachlotz lo tefillin. That's why he went in, to take off somebody's tefillin. It looks like he went to take off Rabbi Eliezer's.
That implies he needed help getting them on too?
What?
That implies he needed help getting them on?
Perhaps. I don't know. Yeah. So that's in relationship to the Menuda. Now the Gemara goes to the Metzora. Back to the Gemara. Toshma. We had seen earlier on the bottom of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis that based on the word in the Pasuk, V'hatzarua, Asher bo hanega, the Gemara Darshan on the bottom of Yudal and Amid Beis, that the word vehatzarua is l'rabbis kohen gadol, comes to teach us that a kohen gadol who is afflicted with a tzaras should follow the rules of a mitzora. Under normal circumstances, a kohen gadol is not permitted to allow his hair to grow long. He has to take a haircut once a week, the Kohen Gadol does. And as a result, I need a pasuk to teach me that if the Kohen Gadol has simane leprosy, he should allow his hair to grow long. The word vahatzarua is completely superfluous because the previous pasuk happens to say a person asheyia botzarua. So the next pasuk could have just started with Bigadav Yerufrumim Verosha Yerufrua. It doesn't have to say Behatzarua. Therefore, the Gemara learned out that this refers to a Kohen Gadol. So now the Gemara is going to darshan this. Toshma. Behatzarua Lirabos Kohen Gadol. Bigadav Yerufrumim. One shiyihu mikuraim, his garments should be ripped. I didn't see much discussion about which garments. I have to look it up. I should have checked. Which garments are we referring to? Okay, because why shouldn't they, that was my point. Why would he not be able to do it? Because it says lo yikareya. It says it by the Me'il, and we learn out from the Me'il all other big day kunis alive. But if this was referring to that, we could justify that ase do halotase under those circumstances. It's possible. I don't think so, but I have to check which garments would he. So, yeah.
Can you say the big day kunis don't belong to him? Presumably they're bought from the funds of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
So they're.
Yeah, okay. But the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot is that a Kohen Hedyot who wears his big day kahuna, shiloi b'shas avoida, is chayiv misa. A Kohen Gadol, that's not true. A Kohen Gadol is always ba'avoida. Because when he wears the tzitz is meratzeh on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So he could wear, when he goes to a Yankee game, he could be wearing his Big Day Kahuna, and therefore it might be that that when he rips the garment, it is his Big Day Kahuna. I'll try to check in the Rambam which garments he actually rips. But anyhow, he has to rip his garment. What? The mothers made the garments?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's over. He's kicked out of the Shemayim. So it wouldn't be, I mean, he wouldn't be wearing the gun outside the Shemayim. I would imagine he's tummy.
He can.
He's tummy, right?
Okay, so they became tummy by wearing them. Because a mitzvah requires kibbutz begadim. So let's assume he became a mitzvah while he was wearing his Big Day Kahuna. I don't know. We'll check. Maybe the Kayin will not pronounce him as Tameh until he disrobes and puts on his Yankee uniform. That's all. Yeah. So that's number one. The second part of the pasuk is V'rosho yihyeh farua ein priya elogido seor. What does Rosho Yafarua mean? It means that you should allow your hair to grow wild. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So if Rabbi Eliezer would be the end of the discussion, there would be no discussion here about wearing tefillin, because the pasuk is not saying anything about wearing tefillin. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, perhaps. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ne'emra Havaya Berosh, V'ne'emra Havaya Bebeged. It says, Bigadov Yihiyu Firumim, Yihiyu. And it says, Rosho Yihiyeh Farua. So the phrase Havaya, Yud something, Haya Hove V'yiyeh, something about the word Hove, it appears by both. So Ma Havaya Ha'amura Bebeged. Just as the phrase Yihiyu by Bigadim is Davar Shechutz Migufo, it's referring to something that is not necessarily attached to his body, but extraneous to his body. Namely what? His clothing. Ah, Havaya Barosh. So too, when it says Rosho Yihiyeh Farua, it means davar shechutz migufo. It means something aside from something that's part of his body. Well, what else could it mean? My love, atfilin. Is it not referring to that the kohen gadol, who is a mitzora, should not be wearing tefillin, and therefore his head is bare, empty, empty? That's what farua means. Answers the Gemara, no. Amar Rav Papa loy. Yes, it does mean something that is chutz migufo. But what does it mean? Akus akumsa visudra. It means he shouldn't wear his what's the famous hat that everyone that, you know what? No. The guys, the yeshivish guys today, what do they wear? Borsellini. That's what it is. Shouldn't wear that. Don't wear it. You should wear a crummy looking hat, a med hat. That's what you should wear. Not a hat of chashivos. Not a hat of chashivos. That's what it means. So, but tefillin he can wear. There's no indication about tefillin. Because he could be wearing tefillin. Aside from that, he is not wearing garments of headwear of distinction. Headwear of distinction. So that certainly would indicate that he should not wear his Kohen Gadol hat, his mitznefes. Because that certainly would be a beged shel chashivos. Much more than a yeshivish black hat. Much more. Yeah. So if that's the case, we don't know about a mitzora either. So there's a machloikis, Rav Papa, and whoever the inference from the brisa, whether or not a kohen wears tefillin while he's a mitzora. And if you assume he doesn't wear, then the halacha probably would be that no mitzora wears tefillin. If he does wear his tefillin, and what this meant was he should not wear hats of distinction, under those circumstances, every other mitzora would wear tefillin as well. So there is no resolution about tefillin. But at least, as opposed to by Menuda, where the Gemara said nothing, here at least the Gemara gave us something to focus on. Either a reason to put on tefillin or a reason not to put on tefillin. At least you have some discussion about it. Yeah. So, yeah. Take a look now. Yeah. Take a look at Tosfos. B'dibur hamaskel v'rosho yia farua, towards the top of the page. Tzorich iyun, says Tosfos, I'm not 100% sure. E pligi hachi b'rosheichem al tifra'u u'bigdeichem lo sifromu. There, in the previous time that we had seen a similar phrase, and this was cited in relationship to Elazar and Isamar after the death of Nadav and Avihu. So there, the Gemara applied the pasuk of Rosheichem al tifra'u, meaning that there was an isur of Tisporet. So I'm not sure, says Tosfos, if anybody argued over there, Velo Maisa Mine Limitsora, the Mashma de Sova Kirabi Akiva, Upolig Adarabel Eliezer. If our Gemara does not cite this particular halacha there, must be that the Gemara was of the impression that the halacha is like formulated in accordance with Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer. And he argues Rabbi Eliezer. Because what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says here that what should he do? Gidul Seyar. That's what Rosheichem al Tifromu means. Gidul Seyar. So in the previous pasuk, where the Torah said "Rosheichem al tifromu," it can't mean that you should allow your hair to grow long, because that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Elazar and Isamar not to do. So apparently it disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you should not take a haircut, and it doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is not talking about hair at all. So if Rabbi Akiva is not talking about hair, there is a possibility that whatever the Torah says here in relationship to the Kohen Gadol Tzarua, that Rosho Lo Sifra means exactly like previously, which had said Rosheichem Al Tifromu. But if you hold like Rabbi Lezer, that's impossible, because it's the exact opposite directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Elazar and Isamar. And as a result, must be that the halacha, that the Gemara is operating with Rabbi Akiva's interpretation, arguing with Rabbi Lezer. Then Tosfos says, Vishema Rabbi Akiva lo porigad the Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe there is no real debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the first place. Deprius harosh hainu gidol seyar bein b'mitzora bein b'ovel. It means both by both of them. Utarvayu doiresh Rabbi Akiva, And Rabbi Akiva can what? Interpret both halachot. Number one, that what? Like Rabbi Eliezer said, you should allow your hair to grow long. Number two, don't wear a beged of chashivut. They're not mutually exclusive. And it's always a question, and I don't have a good handle. Sometimes when you have a drasha, and the Gemara attempts to darshan a second halacha, what's the Gemara's quick response? Hahumi bayile l'drasha achrite. Oh, we need another drash. So learn not two things from the same pasuk. So that Gemara said, no, it's that pasuk is being used for that drash. It's not available for our halacha, whatever you're discussing. And sometimes the Gemara just says, kilachayat, so you'll darshan two things from the same pasuk. So I don't have a good handle as to when the Gemara feels uncomfortable about darshaning two halachot from the same pasuk, and when the halacha puts up a fuss. So here, Tosis is proposing, don't put up a fuss, and don't make a machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Akiva is adding on to the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says it means no haircut, and don't wear a beged of chashivut.
Are they saying that here or there?
Here.
The way the drash is written here, there's no way to say that he agrees.
Why not? When he's saying Nema Havaya Barash, that's his for a second drash. He believes that the word farua means grow your hair. Now, since the word Havaya appears by Bigadim and by Rosh, as a secondary halacha, I learn out that it has to be something Shemichutz Legufo as well. Not to the exclusion of anything which is Migufo, which is his hair. Which is his hair.
Rav Papa is arguing on Rabbi Akiva on the Havaya part.
As to what it means. But conceptually, Rabbi Akiva and Rav Papa agree that the pasuk means an external thing. So that's why Rav Papa doesn't get into this discussion here. It's the fundamental debate is Rabbi Lezer against Rabbi Akiva. Does Rosho Farua mean internal, something that is part of you, or must it mean something external to you? The only debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Papa is, what is that external thing? Is that external no tefillin, or is that external Ashtrama.
We don't know what Rabbi Eliezer would say with Havaya. He would just say, nothing.
Exactly. Just that that's the way the Pasuk Turks.
So according to Eliezer, there's definitely no proof here at all about tefillin. There's nothing to say about tefillin and tzeruah.
That is correct. That's so those who look at Rabbi Eliezer will say, therein lies the machlokes. And the Gemara doesn't resolve it. Hence, I don't know the halacha about Mitzrayim. I don't know the halacha about Mitzrayim.
It's not the Rav Papa and Rabbi Akiva argue, it's actually Rav Lezer and Rabbi Akiva.
Correct. Rav Papa and Rabbi Akiva shake hands that it's not growing hair. It is something foreign. It might be tefillin, it might not be. That's the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Papa. So but Rabbi Lezer holds nothing to do with tefillin.
So Rav Papa, would agree with Rabbi Lezer that Tzeruah...
Where's tefillin? 100%. Yes. Right? No, Rav Papa's an Amora. He can't argue with Rabbi Akiva. That is correct, right? Good. That's what Tosfos claims. However, if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel on the bottom of the Yud Dalet Amud Beis, look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, please. Second to the last line on Yudalid Amud Bet. Second to the last line on Yudalid Amud Bet, where it says, Avel Asur Bitispores Shine Emar Roshechem Al Tifra'u Libnei Aharon Michlal de Lekule Alma Asur. So the Gemara had said, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, what should you do to Elazar and Isamar? What did they do? They should take haircuts. What is inference is that what? Every other Avel, what? Does not take a haircut. So look what he adds. Says the Rabbeinu Hananel, Kireb Elazar, the Omar, Verosho Yia Farua. Ein forua elo gidul seyar divrei Rabbi Lazar. V'chein menuda v'chein mitzayra. So, how does the Rabbeinu Hananel formulate the opinion about not taking a haircut? That it only operates according to whom? To Rabbi Eliezer. Tosfos made the suggestion 2 seconds ago that maybe Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer shake hands on that, except that you require a second halacha according to Rabbi Akiva. That's not the way the Rabbeinu Hananel understood it. The Rabbeinu Hananel understood it that this was a real machloikis. And the Gemara, which says, our Gemara, which says that Roshechem al tifra'u in relationship to an avel means not to take a haircut, is only established according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a mitzora must grow his hair, also holds that an avel must grow his hair. But Rabbi Akiva denies that halacha, at least by mitzora. A mitzora has no chiyuv to grow his hair. That's why the Rabbi Nachman says it's Karabi Eliezer. Tosfos had proposed that maybe there is no debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva is just adding something above and beyond that. Rabbi Nachman certainly does not agree to that. Yes.
Is that a halter that people would say an avel can take a haircut?
According to the Rabbi Nachman.
That's the point, right?
Yes. Yes. I don't know about an avel, but I know a matzoira can take a haircut, that's for sure. Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything about it. It's the Rabbeinu Hananel who's making this leap between the two, as Tosfos did as well. So I don't know what Rabbi Akiva would say. I would doubt it. I don't know. Don't know. Yeah.
Well, what did Rabbi Akiva say about, he talks about the farua has nothing to do with growing anything. It's literally filled. The havaya is, and the farua and the...
Correct. So Rabbi Akiva... So if you learn that technically, and as to the exclusion of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi... That's what he just said.
Yeah.
That Rabbi Akiva allows a mitzora to take haircuts. No problem.
What's the pasuk talking about the Lezer or something? What's the
pasuk
saying? What does that mean?
Okay, so there it means something else. That's all. That's what you're going to have to say. I understand why Tosfos wants to make the connection. I do. Because it's a similar expression, so why shouldn't it have the exact same meaning in both locations? It's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we get right there. Continues the Gemara. Fourth wide line. Avel Asur b'she'elat shalom. An avel is asur in greetings. In greetings. Why? De ka'omale rachmana liyecheskel ha'aneik dom. I want you to remain silent. Asur b'she'elat shalom. Yeah, and this halacha goes both ways. You are not permitted to greet the avel, and the avel is not permitted to greet you. Now, up until now, what has been the pattern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive to Yechezkel, and what has been the consequence for the rest of the Avelim of the world other than Yechezkel?
Do the opposite.
Do the opposite. Exactly. So, why here, every Rishon asks, all the Rishonim ask the same question. Why here is Yechezkel being told to what? Not to greet if everything else he was told to do not like an avel. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have told him Tein Shalom, right? Sing the famous song, Tein Shalom. Sing the song. Who sings that song? Yaron Gaon, yeah. So he should, Yaron Gaon should come back in and say, sing the song. And then we would learn out that we're not allowed to when we are available.
It's where the pasuk is written.
What?
Where the pasuk is written.
Okay, so hold on. The Raivat's going to fix it up in a second. Don't worry. Hold on.
I would have explained that.
Because look at the next part of the pasuk. The next part of the pasuk reads, Hayonek dom meisim evel lo ta'aseh. So how could you have read that? How could you have read that? Remaining silent, which is an expression on behalf of Mesim, lo ta'aseh, you shall not do. You, Yecheskel, shall not do. Avel, I don't want you to do that.
I would have explained it totally different. Like the Torah says, Vayidom Aharon is the exact opposite of the definition of Vayidom. There, he's not supposed to be... The Vayidom is that he's not supposed to be grieving, right?
No.
Here you're saying Dom is actually an expression of grieving.
Right.
And in the Torah, Vayidom Aharon is expressed the opposite. It's not an expression of no grieving. I would have explained that Dom meaning that he was...
But the Torah uses Vayidom Aharon in a different way. It means that Aaron was silent. He was not complaining. He was not complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way...
It wasn't from a grieving point of view?
I don't think so. That's not the way the Torah used... Certainly not the way we understood it. Everybody is Mishabeach Aaron that he didn't challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu that on the day of the Chanukah HaMizbeach, Chanukah HaMishkan, this is what you do to my children. That's the way... People understand.
Can't you read the pasuk? That you should do. May seem a little low to say what the rest of the pasuk follows.
Good. That's the way everybody does learn. That's why the Gemara says Avel is Asur b'Sheila Shalom. He learned it out from the fact that Yecheskel was told, "Don't you know? Grieve in that regard." And they don't. Yes. That's exact. The question is, it should have been if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to experience Dom, then what should he have done? He should have told Yecheskel, you don't do Dom. Mm-hmm. So then we would know, because everything about Yecheskel is the opposite for us. And that's how we learn it.
Because he says, lo tasei perecha chaboshim, the rest of the pasuk he says chaboshim.
Right.
But the first part of the pasuk, he's saying there are a lot of different customs of Avelos, whatever they might be.
Right.
Of them, hanik Dom, do that.
Good. That's the way the Gemara is learning it. That Yecheskel was supposed to engage in Dom.
Yes, why is that?
Because then, what should, if we've done everything that Yecheskel does, we do the opposite. So what should have happened if he does Dom? What should we do? We should do the opposite. That's the question which everybody asks. Everything that Yecheskel did. It says in the pasuk he should wear shoes. We don't wear shoes. It says in the pasuk he should wear tefillin. We don't wear tefillin. So why here do we do exactly what Yecheskel did? So some Rishonim explain, the Ritva and many others explain, because if Yecheskel would have done absolutely nothing, how would anybody know that he's an Avel? And how would we now know to derive anything from his behavior that since he did it a little differently, must be that we should act somewhat differently? If he did nothing that an Avel is supposed to do, how is anybody supposed to look at Yecheskel and say, he's an Avel? How are you supposed to know? So there were two features of an Avel which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to observe in order to create the impression that he is an Avel. Well, now that he's an Avel, we will now see he's doing irregular things about an Avel. Namely, he's putting on tefillin. So the Navi will explain, the Gemara will explain, yeah, he puts on tefillin, nobody else puts on tefillin. He wears shoes, nobody else wears shoes. But if nobody knew he was an Avel, nobody would look on him as doing anything unusual. So therefore, he had to select one or two items. One was the Hayonik dome, which according to many means not to remain silent, but to wail. Hayonik means do not remain dome. Don't remain silent. It means to go ahead and to agonize, to out loud moan and groan. That's what it means. And that Yecheskel had to do that. Plus, the second thing was that he was not allowed to learn any Torah. And that Yecheskel observed. No Talmud Torah. We'll get to it a little later. No Talmud Torah. So, why was it these two things in the first place? Why was it these two things? And the Ravid's going to question why anybody does this. And he says the following. If you see somebody not learning Torah, do you know that he's an Avel? Any proof that he's an Avel? No. What do you say? He's a businessman. He's going to work. That's all. Does what most of us do. You go to work. That's all. If somebody doesn't give shalom, does that mean that he's an Avel? He's an airhead. His mind is, he's Einstein. He's thinking about the next, you know, another theorem. The cousin of relativity. He's thinking of the cousin of relativity. That's why he didn't notice me when I saw him. So the Ravid, in answering all of the other Rishayna, who claim that the reason why Yecheskel had to observe these two dinim of Avelus, because otherwise anybody looking at him would never know that he was an Avel, so that we can infer from his other behaviors, which he was ignoring about Avelus, to teach us that he is a little different and we should observe this Avelus, says the Ravid, these halachot don't teach us anything. Because if somebody looks at him, there is still no proof whatsoever that he is indeed an Avel. And that's why I can't agree with you that would have been the reason for him to observe these two aspects of Avelus, because it wouldn't accomplish anything. That's what the Ravid contends. That's what the Ravid contends.
Is there any argument there with terms of sinna versus novice sinna?
What is that?
Is there any relation to what's the davars of a sinna and not davars of a sinna, that he was doing things that were public oriented as opposed to...
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Normally, dvarm shibet sinna is having relations, but here you don't have to worry. His wife died. That was exactly what he was. You don't have to worry about that. So, the simple way to learn the Gemara is that Yecheskel was told that he should engage in engaging in the moaning and the wailing, and therefore She'el HaShalom is also, because if a person's moaning and groaning, you don't ask him, how you doing, pal, you know, and he doesn't take it seriously to ask you how you're doing, because he's thinking about something else. So the way to read the Gemara, according to most, is that indeed an Avel is Asur B'Sheila Shalom, because Yecheskel was told to engage in behavior which is not conducive to She'elat Shalom. How? By engaging in the wailing, the moaning, and the groaning on behalf of the loss of his wife. Ask the Gemara, Minuda Mahu B'She'elah Shalom. Minuda, is a Minuda, somebody in Chayrim, should he observe an Isur of She'elah Shalom? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Toshma. This is the Gemara again with the Gemara in Tainus. There were 13 Taniyos in order to get it to the rain. It did not rain. So people sit ki avelim u kiminudin who refrain from asking shalom kibnei adam hanizofin lamakom, like people who have been cursed by a kadosh baruch hu. So somebody is a menuda, and it looks like all of Am Yisrael were menuda, and it says in that particular description that you don't engage in Sheila Shalom. So therefore, somebody who is a menuda does not engage in Sheila Shalom. Amalei Abaye, Dilma Menuda L'Shamayim Shani. Maybe only this case of Nidui doesn't engage in Sheila Shalom. What's this case? Where you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at everybody because they fasted 13 fasts and it still didn't rain. Maybe that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of your Nidui. That's the reason why it's more Chamur and you cannot engage in Sheila Shalom. But a regular person who didn't pay his communal taxes, maybe such a person is permitted to engage in She'elat Shalom. So the Gemara has no resolution for it, once again. Has no resolution.
Isn't that the essence of the Nidui, though, that we're not supposed to be having conversations?
Oh, so hold on a second. We're going to take a look for 1 second, just 1 second. Yeah. So if you just take a look at page number 4 for a moment, there you have the Tosfos HaRosh who raised the question that we just raised, and I just want to show you his answer. Midaka'omar le'rachmana li'yecheskel heyonek dom michlal, we can infer the lekulei alma asire, everybody else it's prohibited. V'im toimar, asks the Tosfos HaRosh, why don't we follow the exact pattern that we've been following up until now? Since the Torah prohibited She'elat Shalom unto Yecheskel, must be that everybody else is permissible. Because all the other cases, that's how we defer. That's how we infer the Isur. God told Yecheskel wear tefillin. God told Yecheskel don't take a haircut. Take a haircut. Therefore, we know not to take a haircut. V'yeshloimar, dilo mistaber sheyachmir biYecheskel yoser mishar avela. It doesn't make any sense, claims the Rush, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be more machmir with Yecheskel than with anybody else. And why not? You can't hear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been, you know, we're not all Yecheskels. He was a Navi. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a little more machmir with him. What's so terrible? Umasha osa li Yecheskel kol shkein l'shar avelim. But that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more lenient by Yecheskel, Amrinon, midahutzrach lahatir lo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to what? Had to be makil and tell him to put on tefillin, michlav l'shara velim asa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have treated Yecheskel less stringently than the rest of the world. But he would never have treated Yecheskel more than stringently than the rest of the world. I don't quite hear it. It's one of those 4,000 times when the Balei HaTosfos ask excellent questions, and their answers are not the most compelling in the world. But that's what the Rush says. Then proceed to page 5, which is the Ran, and he does the standard interpretation. Avel asur b'she'ela shalom mida omar liyechesk rachman liyecheskel ha'ant heyonek dom peirush she'omar lo rachmana Af al pi she'omarti lecho shelo tis'abel, even though I told you not to do the other forms of avelus, afilu hachi asei kitzat avelut. Kilomar he'oneik v'te'oneach kiderech she'tso'akim al ha'mesim kishiya'avar adam lefonecha. When a person passes you, you start screaming. The people who are experts on that are the Sfardim, who are the Mekonenot, and they have the Olelot and the Mekonenot. You hear them many a times. V'tidom dimomas hamesim kiderech she'osim lemesim shelo tish'al b'shalom shum adam lehodia lemi she'eino yodea shehu aveh. She'im lo kein lo yehe nizkar l'shum adam shehu avel. Nobody would ever have known that he was an avel. Shaharei meniach tefillin v'lo avir atifas arosh v'chol zeh lehodiya lakol shelo yis'ablu Yisrael al meisehen. This was all as a signal to Am Yisrael that they will be so busy burying people after the Churban that nobody's going to have any time to what? To be misabel. That's why he used Yechezkel as his symbol. But in this regard, he told them to do so, because otherwise, if he didn't tell them to do so, there would be no way of knowing that he happened to be in an avel. That's what the Ran says. Yeah. Okay, going out to page number 7, and here you'll see what the Avnei Nezer says. Uma de kashale lamar bahada mi boyla hashas minuta mahu bishela shalom uba'u lemifshat. They wanted to answer this mi masnit in the tanit from the Mishnah in Maseches Tanis, which says va'asurim bishela shalom kibnei adam hanizofin lamakom. And the people are usur in Sheilat Shalom after the lack of rain, like people who are, God is angry at them. V'kashali lamar, and the person who asked the question asked me the following question: Havadai boi deminuya, deminuda b'Sheilat Shalom, hainu imutar lishol b'Shalom acherim. The question really is the menuda permitted to what? Inquire about the welfare of others. Al vadai acherim asurim lishol bishlomo. Of course nobody is allowed to ask the menuda, how are you doing, fella? Why? Why not? Why? Shaharei eino sharui bishalom. Because you know the answer to the question. He's not, everything's fine and dandy. What is he? His miruchak min ha'edah. He is a distance from the entire kehillah. V'im kein eima, if that's the case, let us say, d'ha d'betanis asurim b'sheila shalom, hainu mishum lesa d'chaveroi, shechaveroi gamtein nuda l'shamayim. Therefore, if everybody is what? Menuda l'shamayim after these taniyot, who's going to be asking what? Who's going to be asking? So he says, I don't understand what the Gemara's kash is. Because our Gemara is only asking a question, can the menuda ask somebody else, Shalom Aleichem? Can he greet somebody else? Because the Gemara knows darn well that we can't say Shalom Aleichem to the Menuda, because he doesn't have Shalom. Well, if by the Tanis everybody is a Menuda, so then what was the Hava Amina that they should be saying hello to one another, Shalom Aleichem, that the Gemara has to say, make sure you don't? Well, of course you're not going to. Because the answer would be obvious. I don't have any peace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at me. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, Lididi, lo kashi midi. I can answer this question. Dishon kol hanidui mishum she'ein Hashem yitbarach merutzah lohem ve'ein hagishomim yordin. Everybody is in nidui because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry and it's not raining. V'harei kol ta'anisam, why did they fast? She'yeh Hashem yitbarach merutzah lohem she'yerdu gishomim v'yeh b'shalom. The reason why they fasted was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should stop being angry and let it rain. Al Kain, listen to this. Vadai mutar u'mitzvah livorech eschaveroi shiyeh sharui b'shalom. Hainu shiyeh Hashem yitbarach merutzolohem v'yerdu gishamim v'yeh b'shalom. So he says, logic would dictate that in that case, everybody would be able to say shalom aleichem to the other guy. By saying, oh, let you have shalom, what does that mean by definition, let you have shalom? You're going to repent. You're going to repent. If you're going to repent, what's going to happen? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop being angry during the little rain. So instead, the only way in which you'd be able to terminate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's angry and let it rain is if you do the opposite. If you tell everybody, hey, would you like to, I'd like to pepper you up. I'd like to make you happy. I want you to have shalom. Shalom aleichem. There's only one thing you got to do. Do tshuva. So, in this case, saying Shalom Aleichem would have been the remedy to terminate the nizifut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Gemara had to say, even though there was compelling logic to allow it by the Tainis case, what did the Gemara say in Tainis? We're not going to allow it. Even though it was compelling. So from here, I will learn that even though there may have been good reason to offer Shalom Aleichem, an Ovel and a Menuda should not offer Shalom Aleichem. And the Rav always felt that Shalom Aleichem in a base Ovel is not a halacha in the Avelim. It's a halacha in the base Ovel. You're not permitted to say Shalom Aleichem to anybody in a base Ovel. Not supposed to say hello to anybody in a base Ovel. Not even to the, if you're just standing in the back because you got 2 hours in front of you till you're going to get to the Avelim, no Shalom Aleichem. And the Rav Moshe believed that as well. That it's a halacha in the base Ovel, not only a halacha in the in Avelos. So that's what the very cute little interpretation of the Avnei Nezer, what's the Havamina here that there should have been an Isur by Nizofin by the Gemara in Tainis, and how we apply it to our Gemara. And here the Gemara does not resolve it, so once again there is a Machloikis. The Mechaber says that a Menuda should not engage in Sheila Shalom, and that Shach that we looked at the very beginning says, no, a Menuda is permissible to engage in Sheila Shalom. Shalom. All right, we'll stop here and continue in 2 weeks. No share next week. What is that? Who? Is he not permitted to what? Yes, he's not permitted to. Yes.
How about can I respond back?
What?
He respond back?
He should not respond back. Sometimes he can't help himself because he doesn't want to be impolite. But it's best that he doesn't.